Carbone, Layla Rahimi, and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five on it. Number one.
Five on it here on Rahimi and Harris. Mark Rohde in for Layla Rahimi. Question number one. What was more annoying last night, the Cubs' situational hitting or the Cubs' pitching?
Wow. You're not wrong with either answer.
Thank you.
In this case. But I am going to stick with what has ailed the Cubs all month, has gotten better, and the situational hitting was just a disaster last night. The double plays, man. Right away, they loaded the bases in the first inning, one out, and then Carson Kelly could not have hit into an easier double play, like a hard hit ball. The shortstop, 6-4-3, and the inning is stunted. The Cubs' fifth inning, 4-3 San Francisco at the time. This was a close game, folks. Bases loaded for the Cubs. One out. Does that sound familiar? Justin Turner grounds into a double play. So I'm going to go. And they did have some two-out hits early in this game, so there were some clutch moments for the Cubs. Nico Horner with a three-run homer, which was deluxe. Make no mistake about it. He cranked that baseball. But I've had it with the Cubs having runners in scoring position with less than two outs and not getting anything across the home plate. It's happened way too much lately.
So the Wisenhunt changeup was a thing last night.
Yeah, they say he's got one of the best in baseball.
It looked good, but the Cubs were impressive early in their ability to lay off. And the whole time Carson Kelly's up, I'm thinking, don't fall for the change. Don't strike out. Don't fall for the change. Don't strike out. I wasn't even thinking about the worst possible result, which is the double play. And for all the talk about the Cubs and what can they do to get better, my thing is real simple right now. Carson Kelly, I can't have him batting where he bats. He needs to be in a different spot in the lineup. And I know a lot of guys are struggling right now. And this is why I say Nico Horner needs to be in that top third every night, whether it's leadoff or two or wherever.
He did hit leadoff last night,
yes,
for the record.
Yes, yeah. Against
Nico
the lefty.
Did.
He'll
yes.
do that against the lefty.
Yeah, and he had a base hit to start the game.
Can I give you this real quick?
Please. It's 500, baby.
In the month of August, 21 games have been played. 18 have been started by Carson Kelly. 224 batting average, 288 on base. I can live with that from a middle of the order guy if you are slugging. The man is slugging 224. Why is he batting cleanup? Why is he batting fifth? Why is he in the middle of your order? Can't happen. It cannot happen. In the second half, that's a 30-game sample. He's slugging slightly higher at 260. Can't be in the middle of your lineup.
Sometimes managers will put slumping players in better positions in a lineup to try to get them out of their slump. And let's face it, Carson Kelly was Pudge Rodriguez earlier this year. He was Johnny freaking Bench earlier this year. He was
Babe Ruth.
Mike Piazza honestly. Earlier this year. I'm just trying to think.
Are we still on earlier this year?
Cal Raleigh.
Raleigh.
He was never Cal Raleigh. Let's calm down.
He wasn't. Man, remember when he had the highest OBP in baseball?
I remember when he hit for the cycle.
He hit for the cycle. So let's go a little easy on my guy.
Oh, I'm glad you claimed him, because now I'm attaching any failure he has to you.
Ooh, wow, that was a big mistake on my part.
So I'm not saying get Carson Kelly out of here or anything crazy. He's done a more than adequate job as a guy who's supposed to be the second catcher on the team. He has become the primary catcher, but he doesn't need to be a primary hitter is my point.
Texter says, no catcher should ever be hitting above seven unless he is Salvador Perez. And then two of the names that I mentioned, Mike Piazza and Pudge Rodriguez, not Cal Raleigh,
he's wrong. Cal Raleigh can hit third, fourth, whatever.
Yeah. Salvi Perez, he stung the Cubs earlier this year. Remember that.
That's what he does to Chicago teams.
Yeah. Five
on it. Number two.
We talked about what success looks like for the Bears yesterday. What does this successful season look like for the Chicago Cubs, who currently have a 99.6% chance of making the playoffs, according to Fangraphs?
What is that number? 90 what?
99.6.
Wow. Yeah, they're going to play. I've been trying to tell y'all, they're going to the playoffs. That's not the issue here. The issue is, can you be ready for a playoff series from a health and hotness standpoint? Are your pitchers feeling good? Are your hitters hot at the plate heading into October? That is the big question. Listen, success in my eyes, and we just talked about that was this with the Bears. That's what makes this funny. For the Cubs, success looks like getting to the National League Championship Series. That's a lot easier to do if you're doing it from, I don't know, a first round bye.
Yeah. I like that. I like that idea.
Playing for a spot in the World Series is what success looks like.
Wow. Oh, so winning, not just getting to the NLCS.
No, playing for a spot in the World Series.
Okay. What was the exact,
that's what the NLCS
give me,
is.
Give me
is
the playing. Exact question again, Tyler. Sorry, buddy.
All good.
We talked about, I'm sorry, with Robbie Tree. But yeah.
We talked about what success looks like for the Bears yesterday. What does a successful season look like for the Chicago Cubs, who currently have a 99.6% chance of making the playoffs, according to FanGraphs?
Win a playoff series. I'm sorry. I mean, I know I should set my sights higher and I should be more greedy, but the Cubs have not won a playoff series for years. Haven't been in the playoffs. Period. So to win a playoff series, I think I would accept that. And as for the 99% chance of making it, I hope that they make it, because it brings back a little bit the collapse of 2023 when they had like a 92% chance of making the playoffs and they did not make the playoffs.
This is not the same.
So
as that.
I don't think it is. I mean, 99% is. I don't think it is that. And I can't, for one, I cannot handle another Cubs collapse. I can't handle it. But I guess I'm weak, because I just think I'm accepting a playoff series win.
I don't think that's weak.
You think number three.
What have you seen or heard from Bears in training camp? Has what you've seen or heard from the Bears in training camp made you more or less optimistic about this upcoming season?
I'm virtually less optimistic, and then again, I had 11 wins at one point in time. But I think that's the answer. I don't see how there could be, and maybe, Marshall, you'll have a different hitch on it, but just all the things that have not worked out the way that they had planned it. And I have applauded the Bears all along with the left tackle thing, that they're not just forcing it. They're not just saying, let's just put Trapillo in there and let's just force him to be the left tackle. They have been diligent with it, and they've allowed it to be an open competition. However, they are behind in that regard right now. So the fact that they are behind in certain spots, the fact that the quarterback, Caleb Williams, it's been a bit bumpy, been very up and down for all the reasons that you might think it is, with a new coach, with last year being bad, and just Caleb Williams still learning how to be a quarterback at the NFL level. We have not seen discernible difference from him relative to last year. And it could be there. Could be lights, camera action for Caleb when the lights turn on in Minnesota or at Soldier Field on September 8th. But for now, my expectations have gone down for the Chicago Bears.
Would you say I'm less meatball-y than you?
No. Did I?
I said, would you say I'm less meatball-y than you?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Would you say I'm more pragmatic than you?
Yeah, unfortunately. But somebody has to be pragmatic.
That's
on this
why
program.
My stance has changed not a single inch to the left, right, front, back from what I said at the start, at the outset. I said it was going to be bumpy for Caleb. I said it's going to be tough.
You did.
And I also said that the Bears aren't going to win a whole bunch of games, and that's going to be a tough start to the season. Nothing that I've seen in training camp leads me to believe that anything has changed on that front. I still don't know.
The offensive line? Are you crazy? Do you know who's on the interior of their offensive line this year relative to last year?
Yeah.
So they have competent Joe Tooney, competent
sure
Drew
do.
Dolman, competent Jonah Jackson.
Sure do.
Yeah.
I was aware of that when I said everything I said. And guess what? Still don't know who's getting to the quarterback. And what do I have more faith in?
Oh, so you're talking about the defensive line.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about the offensive line. You said the line. You were talking about Caleb, and then you talked about the line. So my brain went offensive line.
I got you.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, who do I have more confidence in, the offense or the defense?
Well.
It's well documented.
You well documented that Marshall is all about the offense.
I could see the offense being rocky, right? And then finding a way to get some Caleb magic late. But I can also see the offense and Caleb having some growing pains, and not until after the bye. Again, they could be very well 1-3 or even 0-4 after four games. I need to see it.
Okay.
Five on it.
Number four.
Layla Rahimi was in the group chat last night lamenting the home crowd at the rate last night. How long do you think it will take before the White Sox are consistently worth paying for again? Would you pay to see the Sox?
Yeah, we have reason to believe that Scott Merkin was the only person in attendance last night at the White Sox.
Just that's not sure James Fegan was there, too.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Let me do my best.
You want to hit this one?
You got any more of those giveaways? You got any more of those bobbleheads? You got any more of those cool jackets, hoodies, pullovers?
So you need something there to get you to the ballpark.
As of right now.
You need incentive.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But, when they build that new ballpark, that place is going to be popping. I don't know what year that's going to be, but when they build that new ballpark.
So 5 years from now, Sox will be worth watching again?
5 years from now?
I don't know. 2035. I like that. I mean, come on, man. Stadiums in this town? Like, we're watching it in real time with the Chicago Bears right now. So for me to say 5 years should not make anybody.
Don't see a lot of dirt getting moved.
No, I don't see any golden
shovels.
The question
was about the Sox, not the fire, right?
Or, yeah, that's true. Well, wait, they're going to build the stadiums right next to each other. So.
Okay, all right, I'm just saying.
Where's Gabe Ramirez? Oh, he's going to be on tomorrow.
Yes, he's that's on tomorrow. Right. Sluggers, 2-6.
That's
Judson
right.
Judson Richards, Gabe Ramirez, check it out. Go visit them at Sluggers.
Well, I guess being that I haven't paid for a White Sox game this year and have not been, I usually do go to a few games with my buddy Dan Dorfman, who's a White Sox historian who has written about the score and their anniversaries through the years, and he's a huge Sox fan.
See,
and
Ryan Porth has entered the chat.
Oh my God,
he's got the rate sweater.
Look at that, it's a sick vest.
If you're on Twitch, you can see it.
Put it on.
Look, yeah, put it on.
Put it on.
You know what that looks like? That looks like a Ditka, like an old Ditka sweater vest. What you are about to see right now, my friends. Looks like something that Mike Ditka would have worn back in the day. Oh, man, you are rocking that. Look at you.
Dude,
you are good. You're a Dorbs is
and
what you
this
are.
This would get me to the Sox game. I've been to a Sox game this year. There was a concert, and that's why I went.
Oh, so who was playing?
That falls into the category of giveaways, is it not? The concert?
Oh, Flo Rida, right?
Flo Rida after the game.
Yeah.
Ask if I stayed till the end of the Flo Rida concert. I did not.
Club can't handle you, man.
I could not handle the club right now, so I went and took my tail home. How about that?
That does look good on you.
Listen.
Look at this guy.
The White Sox have great giveaways.
Yeah.
Also, they have great food items.
Better than the Cubs? Oh, I said it. Oh. Yeah, they do have better food. They just do.
Listen, I just think when that stadium pops, whoo!
I love it when that stadium pops, man.
Full house.
Mean, there was no... Obviously, I cover the Cubs and the World Series. I also cover the White Sox and their 2005 World Series. To see that park, the energy in that damn ballpark.
The Pope was there.
Like, the Pope, yeah, he has blessed the team, and hopefully they will act accordingly.
Listen, John Stamos can throw out the first pitch. Full house.
The Pope.
That might be still my... You and I were on the air, my friend.
Yes, I remember.
When the Pope news...
It's on the Instagram.
Broke, yeah.
M. Harris on air. Go follow it. Go check out the clip with the Pope.
Father Bob, what a moment that was.
It's like, wait, what?
This is
the way we all had to process it.
Yeah.
You know what the levels to it.
I usually don't like the cliche year in review things that everybody does at the end of a year.
That's the star.
We need it this year. There's been a lot of stuff going down in the great, big, beautiful city of Chicago. And its sports teams.
Five on it.
Number five.
Fifth question here on Five on It with Rahimi and Harris. Mark Grody is in. Mark Grody, I'll give you the context for this one. The fifth question, what is the coolest thing you have ever won in your life or received complimentary?
Yeah, I guess the context of it is I was fortunate enough to be blessed by the folks at Topo Chico Water, and they dropped off a bunch of gifts here that I have to haul home after this, like freight elevator, because they were so generous. And I'm gonna share with everybody. I'll let you guys pick what you want. Yeah. Real quick, by the way, just to answer a question, because I said that your sweater vest looks like a Ditka vest. Assuming that the texter is right, the texter says it was marketed as a Ditka-inspired sweater vest. So I, as usual, I was right.
As usual?
So, yes.
As sometimes.
I'm batting about 230 on this show, I think.
Hey, fit right into the Cubs lineup.
That's not...
You're Dansby Swanson.
Congrats. Okay, so I think that I'll go with the best. Like, that was pretty cool. The Topo Chico thing. That is, in terms of, like, quantity and something that I legitimately, genuinely love, because I love Topo Chico. Like, that is the best gift. But I will say, the coolest thing I ever won... Now, I've been going back to my Lincoln, Illinois days. When I was cutting my teeth in radio, I worked in Lincoln, Illinois. Love Lincoln, Illinois. Shout out to my friends in Lincoln, Illinois. But another radio station in town, not affiliate, in Springfield, which was the big city. You know, I was in the little city of Lincoln. I drove to Springfield to participate in, this will not surprise anybody, to participate in a Harry Carey impersonation contest for another radio station, WFMB, shout out. And I won the thing. I competed against about like 15
yeah,
other
but
people.
You had to earn that. I thought we were just talking about what you've been like reward, like gifted.
Oh, well, that was something that you won.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So, then I have my answer changes.
Yeah.
Well, now
yeah.
You have to pull out the Harry.
Yeah. Anybody who says you could have a good time without drinking is crazy. They're just a little sample. But so I won the thing from another radio station. They didn't care. They loved it. I was at a tiny 5,000 watt radio station. So I think they even had me on. So it was not like, oh, God, somebody from a competing station. And I won a couple tickets to a Cubs suite, which I was not able to use because I was a poor person living in Lincoln, Illinois, and I had to work. You know how it is when you're cutting your teeth.
So you couldn't even. Get the
I gave them away.
Away.
You can't stop working. You can't stop working, man, when you're cutting your teeth.
Okay, so mine is this. Now that I know we could have won something, freshman year pizza eating contest sponsored by Papa John's on campus at Mississippi State University.
Wow, good audible, by the way.
I finished second, and you thinking, oh, second, that's not first. First was free pizza for the year for your dorm. Can you picture a bunch of college kids thinking they might get free pizza for a year and the just absolute crowd
oh, yeah,
hero.
Man.
Yeah. And so I am a garbage disposal, especially back then. I think I ate two, I think it was like a pizza and then all pizzas but one slice in the six, was it 60 seconds? It was either 60 seconds or 2 minutes, something like that. And I finished second. So I just got pizza for the entire dorm for a day. Like, for the year meant every week they would drop off pizza for the whole
I was
dorm.
Wondering how
but
that
But I
worked.
Got,
yeah.
For the day, like, a week later, they brought pizza for the entire dorm, and I won that, so I was a hero. And that's the most I've ever won.
That is fantastic. Gentlemen?
I have one. So before this, I used to work at SiriusXM, and I covered college sports. And on the show I worked on, I was entering the fan transfer portal. So a bunch of teams are trying to commit and recruit me. BYU, the Mormons, they sent me an unbelievable gift box of a jacket, water bottle, bag, everything you could have seen. I got that. It was sweet.
Prayer leaflets as well.
And then I committed to BYU, and then I decommitted.
Sometimes you got to decommit.
Wow. What Tyler? You got, Baby T?
Baby T is going to have to go with his one of two number one medals in high school tennis at Lake Park.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we both went to Lake Park High School. Yeah. And Roselle and Medina.
At Schaumburg High School.
Same year? You guys graduated together?
Did they talk about Grody?
Yeah, right. Man, good God, no.
Did they whisper about Grody in the hallways?
I'm sure they did.
I wish.
Yeah, they still are. That's wild. So you played tennis, man. Have you considered playing tennis against, I think Matt Spiegel plays tennis here at the
radio
station.
You know what? It was funny. I heard him say that a while back. Yeah. And I was like, no way. I was a tennis player too. I still play tennis, by the way.
Yeah, well, that's awesome, man.
Great way to stand
and a lot of people properly asking, what about the World Series ring? Yeah, that probably was a pretty good
I've
hit people over the head with the World Series ring.
That's the real answer.
I've hit my maximum mentions on having a World Series ring.
No, you have a World Series ring. There's no limit. The limit does not exist.
Do you call it a 401k plan or do you call it a World Series ring? I mean, whatever. I think it would work both
ways
for me. I would
call
it
the World Series.
No, I will never let that ring out of the Grody family. I just have to decide who to pass it down to when I die, when I'm dead. All right, we got to take a break. We're done? I mean, the music's over, so it feels
we're
like it must
Let's
be. We're over. We're behind the whole thing. Coming up next, we'll talk about the mighty NFC North and where the Bears fit into it. Oh, there's a little preview from that guy, the Sox Ditka sweater wearing Marshall Harris. I check him out on Twitch. I am Mark Rohde in for Layla on The Score.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
I wanted to stay in this division. I know this is the toughest division of football right now. There's three teams that made the playoffs this year. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell. You're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards as the season ends here. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
As we get closer to the season starting,
yes,
hearing that soundbite again from Ben Johnson, a little scarier now. A little as the realness.
Wait, why is it scary?
Just because the confidence with which he said that and the smile on his face and the reaction that he got from Bears fans, moreover, the reaction that he got from reporters. We all loved it. It's a fun story. I've seen too many coaches come bouncing into Hallis Hall, all excited about what they have, saying cool stuff, and then it all goes down the drain. As we welcome you back into the Rahimi and Harris Show on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, it's the damn Packers. It's a team that has tortured the Bears over the last couple of decades. Thank God for Thomas Brown and the Bears beating the Packers in the season finale this past year after having the blocked Santos kick in the first game at Soldier Field. So I get, and maybe it's because, as we were talking about, that maybe expectations have been lowered for a lot of people based on what we've seen in the preseason, as well as what I've seen in training camp. Not that the Bears can't be good, but that it hasn't been as good as I thought it would be early on for the Bears. So I get a little nervous now when I hear that from Ben Johnson. But what do you think about that?
Do I look nervous?
Again, you don't. But
do
you
I
always,
look concerned?
You always look calm.
No. But, yeah. But I want you to really.
Okay, hold on a second. Let me look at you. Why'd you take off the sweater, dude? Listen,
it's not me.
Okay.
It's not me.
It's really not you. You look good in it. You're right. You're a t-shirt guy,
period. I'm a t-shirt guy, yeah, hoodie guy.
Not a Sox fan. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Sox fan. Oh, yeah.
That's dirty.
You done been burned.
I am a Sox fan. Yes.
I don't think so, man. You took that thing right off. Yeah, not anymore.
I am a White Sox fan.
You also
fan.
Hate Ditka, apparently.
I do not hate Ditka. I tried to grow a mustache. The connectors don't connect. What do you want from me?
Did you really?
Yeah, I've had the Tom Selleck level. Mike Ditka level mustache in the past.
Okay.
It was not,
didn't do
not
it
a good
you.
Look.
Yeah.
Not a good look.
I did a mustache
listen,
once.
Listen, can I give you some numbers?
Yes, please.
Can I give you some numbers?
I love when you give us numbers.
31, 31, 30, 30. Got that?
30-30.
31, 31, 30, 30.
Uh-huh.
Last year, 31 and 31. 2 years ago, 30-30. Brian Flores, defensive coordinator for the Vikings. That's how many points he gave up to the Detroit Lions. He's never given up less than 30 points to Ben Johnson's offense.
That's good stuff,
so
Mr.
Like,
Harris.
He said the Matt LaFleur thing as a pandering fan base, rah-rah, red meat for the base type deal.
I don't know. Was he? Is that why he did that?
Come on, man. I Chicago, mean, Green Bay. Yeah, that's why he said it.
But he did beat him twice.
Okay. But also, they've dominated the Vikings as well. He didn't bring up the Vikings. He didn't bring up Kevin O'Connell.
That's a good point.
He said it because it's the Vikings. He said it because it's the Packers.
That's a lot of love. Yeah, he gained some credibility. Yes.
But like, I'm trying to get y'all ready for why they're going to win at Soldier Field on Monday night.
Okay, go on.
31-31, okay. 30-30.
I guess I wanted more, but no, that's well
Ben
laid
Johnson,
out.
Ben Johnson, in 3 years as offensive coordinator against the Lions, lost the very first game. The very first game.
Wait, Ben Johnson.
To the Vikings.
Oh, gotcha.
Brian Flores wasn't even the defensive coordinator, so it's not that important.
Heard,
but he lost the very first game. As we remember, the Lions started out 1-6 that year.
That's right.
And they lost that game 28-24. Once they figured it out, it was figured out. And they have not looked back since.
That is true.
Everyone just needs to understand it's going to take time to figure it out. They're still figuring it out. Ben Johnson's still figuring it out. Dennis Allen is still figuring it out. And because the coaches are still figuring it out, guess what? The players are also still figuring it out. Once they figure it out, They're going to be competitive and they're going to be in these games. I just don't think that's happening early in the season, except when you're going up against a rookie quarterback on Monday Night Football in the bright lights of Soldier Field.
And see, I was going to pose the question differently. Do you think Sam Darnold is going to have a great year this year, or was he just in a perfect Kevin O'Connell offense with the Minnesota Vikings, who were great last year?
Short answer is I don't know. The long answer is, if I had to guess, I would think he wouldn't have as good a year as he's had last year with Minnesota, with Kevin O'Connell specifically.
I think you're right, but I think he's still going to be good. Not great, but you're right about the it is all about McCarthy, because they have really good skill players. We know all about that.
They're shorthanded.
They are. Addison is out, but they did sign Adam Thielen, older Adam Thielen.
35-year-old.
And,
you know, if you do the translation from NFL years to real years, like we do with dog years to people years, how old is Adam Thielen?
That's a great, you know what? I love this question. I would say that puts him at about 67.
He's definitely AARP.
83.
He's definitely AARP. You hit AARP when you turn 50.
50, yeah.
So he's definitely AARP. But the question is he taking early retirement? No, he opted not to take early retirement. He's like, I'm going to wait until, 62 and 67 with the Social Security? He's like, I'll wait until 67 to start taking my Social Security.
Yeah.
That's Adam Thielen now.
Okay, fair enough.
In NFL terms.
But they still have the best wide receiver, maybe in football, right? On their
Justin
team.
Jefferson, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
Jamar would argue with you, but Justin Jefferson absolutely has a case.
Yeah, I mean, he's in everybody's top five. Is that good enough?
Yes.
Right, everybody's top five. So and they've beefed, their defense is strong, right? So it really is about the quarterback for them. And we'll find out. We'll find out about J.J. McCarthy. We'll find out about Kevin O'Donnell more than ever.
Their defense is strong, but Caleb wasn't exactly miffed by that defense last year.
He was not. You're right.
Was with who is the offensive coordinator?
Shane Waldron. Yeah.
And so you have to start looking at this and understanding there are bare minimums. If Ben Johnson can't, with an offseason, prepare to scheme up things that work against Brian Flores and company, as he has done, as I just demonstrated, the last 2 years that Brian Flores has been the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, then what are they paying Ben Johnson to do? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
no,
so
you're right. You're right.
We're talking about this whole...
He has to make a difference at some point in time.
So the NFC North hierarchy, which is what we're talking about here on Raheem and Harris, Mark Grody in for Layla, understand that in the division is not where I see the problem. I see the problem from the out-of-division schedule. The fact that they have to go up against the AFC North and the NFC East. That's why I don't have them winning the 11 games that you do. It's not because I'm scared of the rest of the division.
I'm scared of my predictions.
They were in a whole lot of division games last year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah,
they won a division game last year.
I don't want to go through the losing streak, but if we went through the Bears losing streak, we'd find a bunch of games that they should have won.
So all that to say, what is the pecking order in the NFC North? How do you see things shaking out, Mark Grody?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. And a quick text here, and I will answer the question. 773, completely different offense. I think this is directed towards you a little bit, Marshall, and I think you'll have a good answer, too. Completely different offensive team, completely different players. Just because Ben Johnson is here, in capital letters, does not mean that the success he had in Detroit automatically comes with him here to Chicago. But I'll even stand up for you and say, you just said it's going to take a while.
It's going to take a while.
You just said it.
Yep. But that texter, completely different offensive team, completely different players, yes, but not a dearth of talent compared to what he had in Detroit on offense.
Amen. Yeah, you're right. And on the surface, there's a lot of potential for really good players on offense, but we don't know what Colston Loveland is going to be. We have no idea what Luther Burden is going to be this year. We don't know if the chemistry is going to be better with DJ Moore, and we don't know if Roma Dunze is going to take the step up.
No, I'm very confident Roma Dunze is going to take the step because of the chemistry he does have with Caleb Williams. You can say what you want about the DJ Moore stuff, but I think that's why they're going to find different ways to get DJ Moore the ball. Also, the offensive line exists.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't just, like, I'm not saying that he had bad chemistry with Rome. I'm not ready to call it good chemistry. Like, personally, they have great chemistry, and I'm sure they're working on their on-field chemistry, but I would not say that they had the great chemistry last year.
I think Caleb Williams is at a point now, after being coached by Ben Johnson, and you can go through the list, Declan Doyle, all the way down to JT Barrett, like, everybody in that coaching staff that aligns with him, that touches him. they understand and have told him what he has to do differently now that he didn't do maybe last year. And I think one of the things is being more aggressive. We talked about the interception rate. You and I in the break went through the fact that he never had more than 5 interceptions in any season in college.
Yeah, we just
did never
that.
Got to a 2% interception percentage rate.
Right.
And so what I'm saying is he now is going to be more gung-ho and going 50-50 football Rome, you got it.
Yeah. I think you're right. In theory, you're right. So top of the division, I'm still taking Detroit. I'm keeping Detroit at the top of the division. I will go Minnesota. Like I do think that J.J. McCarthy will be good enough in Kevin O'Connell's offense.
Will you change your mind on that in a week and a half if they lose the game?
I mean,
if the Bears beat the Vikings on Monday Night Football, will that change how you feel about Minnesota being the best, second best team in the division?
I don't know if that early in the season it would.
Okay.
Just because you have to allow teams to develop.
Just a question, not an accusation.
Fair enough. So I'm still going to go with Minnesota, or Detroit at the top, Minnesota second, and Green Bay third. How can you not?
So I mean, you got the Bears fourth.
At this point, how can
you don't
not
believe in the Bears?
It's not that. It's silly to put that. I mean, it's dumb to say that the Bears are ahead of any of those three teams who have had winning records recently and have been really good recently.
What happened the last time the Bears played the Packers? Remind me.
Where
was that game?
You're really going to say that because the Bears won that game against the Green Bay Packers?
I'm just saying, remind me.
So you think, okay, hey, I'd like to. Are you telling me the Bears? Okay, where do you line these guys up? Boom, 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 boom. Where are the Bears? Last?
The Bears are third.
Third.
The Packers are last.
Okay.
The Vikings are second, and Detroit is first. But I think it's very tight.
Oh, I think it's very tight, too. You guys mischaracterize me. You know, I mean,
I'm not mischaracterizing anything. I'm letting you speak freely.
I just don't think it's logical to pick the Bears to be anywhere. But, and I won't even say the last. Let's make the words nicer. Fourth.
A.K.A. last. Fourth out of four teams.
I know. Well, I think fourth, because I don't think the Bears are going to be bad. Okay. Coming up next, we will. Maybe you got to put the sweater vest back on.
Nah, not for this.
Because coming up, we are going to talk about your beloved, beloved Chicago White Sox. We're going to do that next. Specifically, we will talk about Luis Robert, who might be done for the season.
He might be done for the season. We're going to let you hear what Chris Getz has to say about that. But there's no issue at all with them picking up the $20 million tab. I'll explain when we come back with more Raheem and Harris. It's Mark Grody and for Layla on 670 The Score.
We MRI'd him, and, you know, this is a grade 2 strain. And so what comes with that is, you know, several weeks. We don't know precisely, you know, at this point of the year, you know, time is not necessarily a friend with players returning. So, you know, there is a chance that perhaps he doesn't make it back by the end of the year.
A reasonable response from White Sox general manager Chris Getz about center fielder Luis Robert. As we do welcome you back into the Raheem and Harris Show, I'm Mark Grody filling in for Layla today. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
So, Luis Robert Jr., you heard there Chris Getz talking about the fact that he's out, and he very well may have played his last baseball game in 2025.
Dun, 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 dun.
And so, Luis Robert Jr. is a sort of complicated situation because he's a guy who has shown all-star and superstar potential. He's actually been an all-star, so I guess that's not potential.
He's had some really nice years.
He's had some good times. Well, the problem is he hasn't been able to stay on the field. And this latest injury had a lot of people, I think, when I was scanning the website formerly known as Twitter, talking about they should have traded him. See, this is why you should have traded him. Now he's hurt. I say, no, this is okay. It's good. Let that man get healthy. Let him end the season feeling good about what he's done on the field. And when I say that, Mark, I say that because his second half splits, .298 batting average, .352 on base, .456 slug. In 31 games since the break, 5 home runs and 18 RBI, along with 11 stolen bases. You know how many stolen bases he has this year?
So you said he's at 11 since when?
The All-Star break.
I'll say 20.
How about 33?
How about 33? Put me down for 33, guys.
Do you like Luis Robert Jr. as a defensive outfielder?
I've always loved him as a defensive outfielder.
Okay.
Uh-oh. You going to do me in here now?
No, not good to you in here. See, you always think it's a leading question, like you're on the witness stand.
Yeah, you do a lot of leading questions.
And I'm going to badger the witness.
Yeah, I think that's...
I think we both...
Well, let me show you, Mark Crotty.
No, this is not an NBA and Bulls conversation, so that's the only time that happens.
That's the only time Marshall insists upon himself.
So, what
Giddy
I'll say
is good.
What is good?
No.
Giddy.
Not that. Not Giddy that. Good. So, Luis Robert Jr., there's this idea that the White Sox are not going to pick up his $20 million option because he can't stay healthy and he's not worth anything. Mm-hmm. Why would you pay him $20
million? $20 million, though,
yeah. If you look at the White Sox payroll, it's not like they don't have the $20 million to give him. They do. The highest paid player on the roster is Andrew Benintendi.
Ugh.
Like, that's the way it the way it goes.
Ugh.
So you're pro keep Luis Robert for the sake of the future of the White Sox or the sake of flipping this man?
I think it's for the sake of both. As in either. As in, I've liked the way the White Sox have looked since the All-Star break. They look better offensively, and I think they're a better offensive team when Luis Robert Jr. is in the lineup. They're certainly a better defensive team when Luis Robert Jr. is in the lineup. The question is, do they have the pitching? And I think the answer is not yet. Not a no, but a not yet.
Which we thought at the beginning of the season was beginning to sprout, and then there was the decrescendo.
Yeah, I think it's more of, we know we've got talented arms in the minor leagues, but some of them have had setbacks and not developed the way we thought they would.
Setbacks is a good word.
And
yeah.
I think people thought there'd be more promising pitching news out of the White Sox this year than hitting news out of the White Sox. But the hitters
yes.
have been better than the pitchers as far as the young wave of talent. And that's a good thing. But I think a guy like Luis Robert Jr. can be valuable not only as a trade chip, even if you pick up the $20 million. Here's why I don't have another reason I don't have a problem with picking up the $20 million. When you look at Luis Robert Jr., if another team likes him and you say, hey, we'll pay a portion of that $20 million, you're basically paying for an upgrade in prospects. You pay a little bit more, but you get a lot more. And so maybe if you want a top 10, top 15 prospect in an organization, Luis Robert Jr. can't get you that right now because the team's going to be on the hook for $20
million. Yeah.
But now, if you agree to pay, let's say, $10 million, it's looking like a value for that team. And they're going to have future options in which they believe if Robert Jr. plays the way we think he's capable of for them, they can be on the hook for future options. I think that's the way to play out. I don't think I'm the only one, though. Because listen to what Chris Getz had to say about how they feel about Luis Robert Jr. right now.
We're committed to Louis. You know, you look back at what he's done with our team, you know, even a little bit before the second half began, and you know he's done really well against lefties, and he's had glimpses against righties. You look at the defense, the base running, you know he was showing you know everyone what he's capable of doing, and can be such a boost to this lineup and this team, and that's why you know we're talking about it today because he's missed, but yeah, injuries are part of the game. They've unfortunately been part of his history. I think he's played in about 110 games this season. And, you know, he's really risen in terms of the impact on this team and the league. And, you know, and a lot of that quality work, happened in this, second half window. So, for what he's capable of doing, the talent, the impact that he can have on this club, we like having Luis Robert here.
I think they might be ahead of schedule. And if they decide to open up the old checkbook and bring in some more talent, specifically veteran pitchers,
mm-hmm.
and or a position player or two, they could be right there and back in the mix. Listen, Detroit's having a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
But the rest of the AL Central is a bunch of teams that are conventionally flawed. I think they're already up on where the Minnesota Twins are after their fire sale at the deadline.
Yeah, that was weird.
There's a chance for them to move up quickly if guys continue to progress, the likes of Miguel Vargas and some
mm-hmm.
of the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Colson Montgomery, who had to miss the game with side, but they said the MRI came back clean on his left
side.
Okay,
hopefully it's just a contusion or
yes,
something like
and
that.
So yeah. If Colson Montgomery is what he has been in the second half, Kyle Teal, Chase Mydroth, mm-hmm. Edgar Caro, bring Mike Tauchman back.
Okay, I mean, it's like you said, like the base of the White Sox might be starting to set itself up really quick, really quick because I don't want to deny Jeff in Kalamazoo for 30 seconds. Jeff, what's going on, man? What do you want to say about Luis Robert Jr.?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I was looking at his contract, and if we didn't want to pay him the 20, what if we did a different scenario and we gave him, and on November 1st, we tell him we're not signing him, but he's told us he loves Chicago and he wants to stay here. What if we told him we'll give you 2 years at 20 million total, and we'll make it incentive laden where you could make an extra 10 million on that, and then have an team option for the third year if we want, at another 10 million. See if he would sign that, because if he would sign that and still be a better than average or a good player again, then you've got a team-friendly contract where either you have him set up to play until Braden Montgomery is ready to come up, or if you want to trade him, you're probably going to get more for him because he's going to have a team-friendly contract and someone's going to say, hey, we'll give you a top 10, top 15 pick in our team, our minors, to get him. Yeah. What do you think about that as a scenario?
Jeff, thanks for the call. We appreciate you making it. Look, no player, especially one that is still young in Luis Robert,
28 years old,
likes the incentive-laden contracts. I don't think that's something that he would accept. And as Jeff said properly in Kalamazoo, he did say properly that they would be team friendly. So I don't know that Luis Robert would want that, nor should he want that.
There's
at this
no
age.
Incentive for the White Sox to just do that because they'd have to literally cut him otherwise. Like, you cut him.
Yeah. It's a 2 years. AKA
decline the option. Decline the option.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have to punch the option because you want to get something for him.
At this point in his career, man.
I don't think you can talk him into doing anything that Jeff was suggesting.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, I understand in theory, of course, that's team friendly, which would mean, fan friendly in essence. So I like the thinking. But yeah, at 28 years old, he ain't playing for $10 million a year. Frankly, nor should he, as up and down as it has been. We need to take a break. When we come back, though, we're going to talk about what we'll call Ben Johnson's real expectations for the Chicago Bears. It is the Raheemy and Harris Show with me, Mark Grody, on The Score.